Today's subject, as we deal with Wide Awake and All In, is eyes forward. You got that? Eyes forward. Everybody say that back to me. I want to start off, it may seem out of context, but it's not. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 8 and 9 in the New International Version. This scripture sort of stuck out at me this week. Romans 10, 8. But what does it say? He's talking about the Word of God. But what does it say? The Word, everybody say the Word. The Word is near you. The Word. Word of God. And your word. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That is the word of faith that we're proclaiming. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. What? The word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. No, you will. Yeah, there you go. Stay with me now. So I want you to hear this, and let's try to keep everything in context. What you speak with faith directs your future. What you speak in faith or with faith directs your future. What do you mean? Your words set your course. Your words become your compass. Your words become your guiding star. When you get up in the morning, be very careful what you say, because it is the roadmap for your day. It's the roadmap for your week. It's your roadmap. Follow me now. Your words set your course, both positive and negative. What do you mean? If you start speaking words of You get up in the morning and you start speaking words of pain, you are only headed into one direction. Say it back to me. Where are you headed? If you speak of words of regret, you're going to get what? If you speak words of hurt, you're going to get a lot of hurt. So what are we saying? Keep your eyes forward. Keep your eyes forward. Understand that those things that you say are going to come back. I hate to say it this way, but the words you say are going to come back to haunt you. Or it'll either be a blessing or a haunt, but it's going to come back. It's like a boomerang. It's coming back. I like what D.L. Moody said. He was a great evangelist in the late 1800s. But here's a statement that struck at my heart again, Dr. Carrier. He said, I have never met a man who has given me so much trouble as myself. Can I read that one more time? I have never met a man who has given me so much trouble as myself, and I believe that. Whenever I get in trouble, it's probably, Sonia, it's me. I'm doing it. Troubles, I laid in bed the other night. I'm just going to be very honest with you. We've got a lot of things going on. Me and my wife, we've got lots of stuff going on right now. And I laid in bed and just all the negatives of the week and of the day came into my mind, into my heart. I couldn't even sleep. And finally, I had to say, wait a minute. I started quoting scriptures in my mind. I started preaching to myself until all those negatives got out of my mind. Because let me just tell you, worry will not change it. I would say a damn thing, but I won't say that. Because Keyshawn will get mad at me. But we're all adults in here, or most of us are. It won't change anything. Your anxiety won't change a thing. Me laying there not sleeping is not helping me. But when I found out that God, His Word, will change things. He'll take away the anxiety. He'll take away the stress. He'll take away those things that have been bothering me. Oh, wait till we get into this here in a minute. God knows what He's doing, James. Jason. I call him James. Why don't I call you James? Jason. So what am I trying to say? If I was to make a theme of all this, it would be looking back will only slow you down. Say that back to me. Eyes forward. Eyes forward. Growth comes, if we really want to grow, growth comes when we fix our focus on what's ahead. We fix our focus on what's ahead and speak, here it comes, and speak to that which is before us, leaving the past behind. Speak to what's before us, leaving the past behind. That's the most difficult thing you will ever do in your life, is leave the past behind. Because the other night, in the middle of the night, everything I'd ever done in my life, it was negative. Years ago, decades and decades and decades ago, Pat, it came back into my mind as if I did it yesterday. And here I am sitting there going through all the pain of something 40 years ago. Why in the world do we do that to ourselves? It's not us. It's the devil. It is the enemy of our soul trying to remind us of our failures. We can't go that route. You can't go that route. As a matter of fact, if you're sick in body, you'll get sicker. If you're having heart problems, you'll have more heart problems. If you have blood pressure problems, I took my blood pressure in, it was going way up. And why all of a sudden? Because I was under stress. But when I read the Word of God, the blood pressure dropped. So we've got to speak to our future and leave the past behind. That's when I start to grow. So listen to these scriptures, because that's the only thing that's going to change your life. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And I want to read this in the Message Bible. The Message Bible breaks it down. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, watch this. God speaking. Don't panic. I'm with you. In other words, don't stress out. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. Who's God?
Our
God. He's our God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you. Some of us need a firm grip. So what is God promising? He promises presence, strength, and a firm grip on our lives. So, do you feel alone? How many people have felt alone? Do you feel alone? Well, his presence is there. You're never alone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never let go of your hand. Do you feel weak? Well, he says, when you're weak, I'm strong. He tells the Apostle Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Why would he say that? Because he don't want you to think you're doing it on your own. Because we're not. I have not made it on my own. Anything in my life that has been successful, I admit it has been God. Amen. Do you feel like you're slipping away? Do you feel like things are just getting out of order? What do you mean, out of order? Out of purpose. Your purpose is slipping away. Well, his grip will hold it tight to you. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, Paul speaking, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He said, I've not gotten there yet. I'm not at the apex. He said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, here's one thing that I'm going to do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to strain toward that. And it is a strain. It's not easy to look ahead because we feel comfortable with looking back at our past. We associate with it. We feel comfortable because that's who I was. That's what I used to do. And all that is a trick of the enemy to try to get you back into that mode of thinking. Can anybody be honest with me today and say the enemy's been working on your mind? Oh. He will. No reason to be a part of a ministry. No reason to be a part of a church. No reason to do this. No reason to do that. I mean, I'm telling you, there's such a skewed opinion of the ministry right now. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. Amen. What does he do that for? To win the prize. I'm going to keep pressing to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is Paul doing? He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach the Philippians something. Paul presses forward, keeps going, advancing, eyes forward, forgetting what's behind. He wants to forget it, not remember it. We'll get into that in a moment. He wants to forget it, not remember it. As a matter of fact, let me just go and tell you, God doesn't remember your sin. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. He said in his scripture, if we're going to believe his word, Keyshawn, he said, I will remember it no more. I just wonder, has anybody ever tried to drive? And I have. Have you ever had tried to drive your car and you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror? Do y'all know how dangerous that is? Because you get fixated on what's behind you. Why are you doing that? Well, I've been hitting the rear so many times, I better keep an eye out on the rear. And what you're going to do is not get hit in the rear, you're going to get hit in the front. You know, I just told you the truth. But there are a lot of people that they've been hitting in the rear so many times with a car that now they're afraid. They keep looking. Ooh, ooh, they're too close. Oh, God. And all of a sudden, they're running up on somebody else. Can y'all see me okay? Should I move a little bit? I don't want y'all to strain. See, if we could afford risers, I'd get them, but you know. Platforms, yeah. Platform shoes, is that what you said? Then I'm going to look like a, what was that, a Soul Train. That guy had on some platforms, man. But you try to drive, look in the rearview mirror constantly, you're going to get into a wreck. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. You can't move into God, into the future that God has for you if you keep replaying the past. Eyes forward. You keep replaying the past, and all you're going to get is more of the. Why? Because you keep replaying it. And your spirit thinks you want more of it because that's all you're thinking about. Me, I'm thinking about prosperity. I'm thinking about peace. I'm thinking about blessing. I'm thinking about healing. I'm starting to think, I don't want to hear those negative things. I don't want you to even face me. I don't want to hear them. What I want to hear is my God is more than able. He's just more than able. Turn to somebody and say, God's more than able. So what does this prove to me in all this that I'm saying? Looking back will only slow you down. Growth comes when we fix our eyes on what's ahead. That's when we start to grow. I fix my eyes on what is ahead of me, and now I start to grow. I don't think about where we used to be a year ago, this ministry, this church. Why would I do that? There's no benefit in that. I don't live in what used to be. I live in what is, not in what used to be. I want to give you a little illustration. It's not an illustration, it's a true story. So growth comes when we fix our eyes on that which is ahead. In 1924 in Paris, the Olympics were there. And a sprinter named Eric Liddell, does anybody know Eric Liddell? Well, he just happened to be the man in the movie, The Chariots of Fire. That's what the movie was based on, was Eric Liddell. He was leading in a race, doing a great job. But a competitor got close to him as he's running. And Liddell glanced over his shoulder just for a moment, for a split second, to check out where his competitor was. At that moment, It slowed him down enough to where the competitor just about passed him. No, he still won the race, but a lesson was learned. He still won, but it taught him and the world a lesson. What was that? When you look back, you lose speed. Amen. When you look back, you lose speed. I mean, if you're running for a touchdown, don't turn around and look. Keep running. When the enemy is coming after you, don't turn around and look at him. Look at the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes focused forward and keep on running. Keep on keeping on. Remember what I said a week or so ago? Keep on stepping. Keep on stepping. Keep on stepping. The enemy says you can't go any further. Keep on stepping. Keep doing what you know to do. Faith is not saying to yourself, well, I don't know if this is going to happen. Well, I don't know if I do this. No, faith says it's going to happen step by step. God's going to make it happen. Say that back to me. God's going to make it happen. So I'm not playing a game with this because I know a lot of people are suffering today. I said that from the get-go when I prayed for Terry and Chandra, as I'm going to pray for you in a little while. You do understand that the enemy is after you. You say, Bishop, don't tell me that. Just preach me a prosperity message. Everything's going to be okay. It will be okay, but you've got to get over the fact that you're going to get some troubles and some trials and some temptations and some persecution. It's coming. I've had it. And I trust him, and I pray most every day, all day long almost. That's the fact. Why? Because I can't survive without staying in communication with him. I just can't survive. So I'm not going to look back and lose speed. Paul said, I'm going to forget what is behind and strain toward that which is ahead, because looking over your shoulder costs you momentum. And I'm not going to lose that momentum. Remember the statement, God has a grip on you in Isaiah 41, verse 10. God says, don't panic. I've got you. He says, I've got you. No matter what's going on, I've got you. I am your source. I am your strength. I am your ability. This is not just a casual promise, Doc. It's not a casual promise. He's saying, I've got a firm grip on you and the promise. His promises in him are yea and amen. That's what the Bible says. When he makes a statement, he means it, Pastor Mike. He means what he's saying. So what do you mean? A firm grip means he's not letting go when you stumble, because we will stumble. But a firm grip says he will not let go. A firm grip means you won't lose in the storm. You're not going to get lost in the storm. A firm grip means he's holding you steady while you take the next step. That's why I say keep stepping, keep stepping, keep stepping, because he's holding you on. He's our Father. What did Jesus say? Our Father which art in heaven. He is our Father. When my kids were small, it's hard to believe they're small now. When I think about how old everybody is, I'm thinking, my God, they all got older and I didn't. How old is my oldest? I don't want to remember. Alan? He's 50 years old? Well, I'm only 35. How did that happen? I mean, that's half a century right there. But when they were small, I didn't just walk beside them near a busy street. I didn't do that. What did you do? You know exactly what I did. I held their hand tight. You know why? Because I know they want to boom, boom, do this, do that, do the other thing. And I didn't want them to get distracted, and get hurt. My grip kept them safe. Told my son Aram, we were in a Japanese restaurant in Florida, and he was sitting there at the table. He was probably 5 or 6 years old. I would say he's 18, but he wasn't. 5 or 6 years old, and I said, son, it's happened to both of my sons, two of them. I said, son, don't touch that thing on the table, the hibachi table. And he's looking, he's doing this. I said, son, don't touch it. But a picture is worth 1,000 words. He decided, dad, he thinks he's got a firm grip, but I'm going, while I wasn't looking, he went, and he came alive with the understanding. And the second he hit it and jumped and started crying, I said, stop crying. Stop crying now. I told you what was going to happen before it happened. And he stopped crying. That happened to me several times in my boy's life. Because when I told him not to cry, because you did this to yourself, I warned you not to do it. Don't be crying. You paid for it. You wanted it. But my grip kept them safe. God says, that's how I hold you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you get distracted. I'm not going to let you get hurt. I mean, God is so caring. I remember Crystal when she was little. It's hard to believe she was little, but she was. I don't know how old she was. She was about this tall. How old was she when she was that tall? She was about that tall. And so she'd gotten in a pool and was swimming. And when she got out, her mother wasn't there. And so she's shivering. She turned blue. She's going, she is shivering. But I took a towel, wrapped it around her, and held her close until she got warm. And I thought this morning, it's amazing what God does to us when we get into a circumstance or a situation where we get all shook up and we get cold and indifferent sometimes. He'll take that warm towel and wrap it around us and warm us up. The Father's grip. The Father's grip. God, help us. I mean, you know, he's such a loving God. I know y'all, most of y'all have children in here. But I remember in bed at night, my boys, would, specifically my sons, they would come to me at the bed in the middle of the night. One of them, Arm, there again, Arm, you know Arm, great pastor of that church in Dallas. He would come, and my bed was just high enough where his face was face to face with me. And he'd walk up in the middle of the night while I'm laying there like this, and he'd just stand there like this and look at me. Now, he was only about this tall, but he's staring at me. So when I opened my eyes and saw it, oh, my God. Son, what are you doing? He was frightened, and now he frightened me. But I never chided him. I never whipped him. I never said, get back in bed, you dumb. No. I picked him up and laid him beside me. Let him go back to sleep. And I thought this morning, God doesn't get tired of us. Whenever we get in trouble and we get frightened, he'll take us and pick us up and lay us on his shoulder. Isn't that Avon's calling? So, how many of you have experienced something like that before? Yeah. I remember when Kate was sick one time, and I know you can't imagine her being small, but she was. We used to call her Tank, and she was only about this tall. And she got sick one day. Her mother had to do something, go work or go clubbing or whatever she did. Can I have some water? That one right there brought truth out in me. I think she was. And Kate was sick. And instead of laying her off in a crib somewhere, I was sick. Actually, one of the few times in my life I ever laid down in bed in the middle of the day and said, it's enough. I don't know what it was, but I was sick. But I took Kate and laid her on my shoulder, and we both went to sleep. We got a picture of it somewhere. We both went to sleep. No, you don't remember it. Oh, you got the photo? And we're laying there asleep. And I thought, God, he doesn't, just when I'm sick or hurt, he doesn't just throw me off. He puts me on his shoulder and causes me to rest. And I'm telling you this today, these little stories, because I want you to know how much God loves you. God loves you. So I've never felt love in my life. Well, you just don't know Jesus then. Because the cross on which he died was filled with love. What nailed him to the cross was love. It wasn't nails. It was love that kept him there. Huh. Here's a point I want you to remember in all this. Old battles don't belong in your new season. You can put them there, but old battles don't belong in your new season. How many of y'all, is anyone here tired of old battles? I am. Man, I'm so sick and tired, Pat, of old battles. And I'm really sick of the devil. I keep saying that because I'm just sick of him. And I think we need to curse today the enemy of our soul and the demonic spirits that are attacking people and making them do things against God's children. In Isaiah 41 verse 12 in the Message Bible again, when you go out looking for your old adversaries, what did I just say? Don't let your old ways get in your new season. When you go out looking for your old adversaries, you won't find them. Not a trace of your old enemies, not even a memory. You don't have to worry. They're not even going to be there anywhere. You can think about them, but they're gone. They're out of your life. Well, you don't know what my husband did to me. I don't care what your husband did. Your husband's not the problem. Your wife is not your problem. Your kids are not your problem. It's a spirit that we're dealing with. Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. That's what we're dealing with. You're dealing with a spirit world that's trying to conquer and destroy mankind. And that's why you're here today, so you can be an overcomer. And I'm going to be an overcomer. Say that back to me. I'm going to be an overcomer. So verse 12 makes it clear, Jason. When you go looking for your old adversaries, you won't even find them. God's going to take care of it. Some of the enemies you're worried about have already been handled by God. And we're worried about them. And he said, I've got it handled. Enemies, what about shame? How many of y'all have felt shame about certain things? Come on, let's be honest. We felt shame about certain things. But I'm going to tell you, it's been nailed to the cross. Some of us, your enemy's failure. Well, let me just go on record. It's covered by the blood. Some of us, it's fear. Fear has become the enemy. But God has already spoke over it and to it. Let me just give you a little illustration. Imagine this being a chalkboard right here. And some of you would need a bigger board than this to write all your failures. Steve. But let's write the hurts, the pains, the lies, the treachery, the deception, all the things. Let's write it down on the board. And you understand your chalkboard of your life is filled with your past mistakes. And you see them every day. You're looking at them every day. But God takes an eraser and he wipes it clean. What do you mean, Bishop? But you keep staring at the empty board. Because I know what used to be there. We keep staring at the empty board. You're just looking for what's no longer there. You're looking for what's been eradicated and erased. You're doing that. That's not God. He's not reminding you of it. You're reminding yourself of it. God says, why are you searching for what I've already erased? What are you doing that for? You're doing that to yourself. Your future, everybody say, my future, is greater than my failure. You believe that?
Yes.
You really believe that?
Yes.
Philippians 3, 13 through 14, you can read that later on. Because we've already read it. Paul had a past. When he spoke to the Philippians, Paul had a past. What do you mean? And he said, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. Do you understand what he was saying? When I looked at it this morning, Doc was persecuting and killing Christians. He was murdering them. He was imprisoning believers that he is now a believer. But he refused to allow that to define his future. Now, none of you in here has killed anybody. Or maybe you have. But understand, you can't let that define your future. Paul said, I'm not going to allow it. I know what I've gone through. I know what I've done. I know the error of my way. I know I've been treacherous. But that's not going to define Paul. It may have talked about Saul, but it's not going to talk about Paul. Amen? He said, I press toward this goal. You don't, let's just clear this up. You don't have to deny your past. You don't have to deny it. But here's the second thought. Although you don't have to deny it, you don't have to live in it either. Or live with it either. It's gone. Forward focus fuels resilience. Forward focus fuels resilience. The more you stay focused and you start moving forward, it makes you to be able to handle the storms of life, the difficulties of life. Forward focus, eyes forward. You run better. You're going to learn a lot better running forward than you try to run backwards. You ever tried that? I've done it a lot of times getting ready for football. You run better when you're not carrying yesterday's weight. Now, when I weighed 265 pounds, Dr. Carrier tried to fatten me up. It was tough to run. It's a lot better when you get slim and beautiful, you know. What are y'all laughing at? It's just a lot better. I want you for a moment to think about it. Imagine running a race with a backpack full of bricks. And that's what many of us are doing. Each brick represents regret, a hurt, a failure. But the moment you drop them, which you can do today, the moment you drop them, you run lighter, you run faster, and God says, drop it, eyes forward. Drop it, eyes forward. Drop it, eyes forward. Drop it, eyes forward. If you get married for one or two or three times, you're going to find out that sometimes the problem was not in the other person, it was in you. Because you will go back and remind them of what their other spouse did. Well, that's what they did. Well, now you're putting that on me. Don't put that on me. I'm not that person. That's called looking backwards. That's called, I'm not going to look forward. But to have a successful marriage, you have to keep looking forward. Amen? So I'm going to give you a little homework. Ask yourself this question. What past regret or failure still pulls at you? What pulls at you? What's trying to shape you now? Trying to keep you out of your destiny, your purpose? What future hope now can I run toward instead? What future hope can I run toward? What is it? Y'all need to think about that and write it down. That's important. As I start to close, I want you to know that you need to define some things in your life, and you need to write down a prayer that's focused. I call it a focused prayer. Because some of us pray and we don't even know what we're praying. We just, oh God, I'm hurting. Oh God, our knows that. Be focused with your praying. I want you to say a prayer about where you're going. Write it down where you can keep it and remember it. Say a prayer about where you're going, not where you've been. Don't even mention where you've been. Keep it faith-filled. Not fear-filled, not anger-filled, not spiteful-filled. Keep it faith-filled. And I want you to start speaking to your future self. Speak to your future self, not where you are now. And I want you to quote it every morning. Write it down, quote it, so that you can face your day properly. Let me give you an example, which I want you to quote with me right now as I close. Lord, I thank you that my past is behind me.
Lord, I thank you that my past is behind me.
My present is secure in you.
My present is secure in you.
And my future is full of hope.
And my future is full of hope.
Today, I choose to run forward into everything you've called me to be.
I choose to run
Amen.
Amen.
That's simple, but that's to the point.
Yes.
You have to realize what God is trying to do in our life.